Ladies and gentlemen, I am Sammy SLB, and alongside me today is the man behind the Twitter, Wrestling's Voice of Reason, Scott. We're coming to you from above the ring, Ship It Suit, Premier Wrestling Podcast, coming to all things AEW to WWE Worldwide, coming to you Monday morning, Turner time. It's been a while. We started this podcast, what do you say, 3 months after Dynamite aired. Correct. We were on Twitter a couple years prior to that. This is the last podcast we're going to have before AEW debuts its next show, its latest show.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Rampage. It's no Thunder, hopefully.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Let's hope it ends up more like SmackDown did in the early days.
Yep.
AEW Collision airs June 17th. I, myself, and John, the Statman, will not be covering it. We will be on assignment. Scott will be there. We would definitely want to talk about this. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of commentary. There's some things I think we need to start. I think we all need to rationally put this into perspective.
Yes.
Because between the folks on Twitter, there's a lot of emotional people, whether you listen to the show or not. There's a lot of people who just think emotionally.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who have stronger feelings. Some people... Scott and I want to give you our thoughts, our rational thoughts, what we think should happen for it to be successful. And what AEW should continue to be successful at this point.
Yep.
We spent episodes prior discussing, you know, WWE, which maybe at some point we should go and evaluate the WWE product again. It's been a bit.
I'd be all right with that.
But let's I'm going to start with, okay, we got Collision happening on Saturday. You and I, we've already talked about this. This is already a risky move, but it's also like, where else do you put it?
Right.
You are going up head to head against somebody.
Yeah.
You know, so far Ring of Honor is going up against Impact. AEW has its own night. I'm sorry, Dynamite has its own night. Then you have to go up against Raw, NXT, or SmackDown. So that gives you Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. And you know for a fact, well, Friday's the Rampage, so you can't even do unless you did it before.
Right, and if you did it before, then you're doing it in direct SmackDown competition with SmackDown. And unfortunately, that's not going to hold well because SmackDown is pulling like 2.5 mil every single episode.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to go against Raw. Raw's not. That's just always been the... I think any wrestling company would not go against Raw.
Yeah, no. I mean, the last company to try that was Impact, and they did abysmal. Mm-hmm. So they kicked it right back over to where they are now.
But at the same time, that was, I think, their highest rated show in terms of viewership. So in long term, they got destroyed because WWE's like, yeah, we'll just say Bret Hart's coming back for the first time in forever.
Yep.
But they also did north of a million on that show.
That's true.
It was like a weird, you know, win-lose scenario.
Right.
So the Saturday thing is already off the bat. You know, we're going to see how that turns out. Maybe at some point. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Maybe at some point we will get maybe more viewership. Maybe there'll be a reason for them. Hey, you know, we could do Tuesdays. Who knows? You know, there's only so much wrestling or time in a day for wrestling. You know.
Well, I think Ethan would say otherwise.
Well, I'm even saying if you're going to watch it live. Because, We even talk TV, right?
Right, right.
If you wanted to air a channel, and I think I said this a while ago, if there was a cable channel that just played wrestling 24 hours a day, there would be spots in that station where they would just have to, even if it was just not even documentaries, we're just talking about wrestling content.
Right.
There's going to be a few hours of those days where it's going to be junk, or it's going to be, nobody's going to watch.
Right.
And they're going to be like, why is this, why do we put ourselves here? Well, A, there's more popular products out there.
Right.
B, there's not enough time in the day.
Mm.
So we already talked about primetime. Primetime, I don't think anyone watches, unless you watch an NWA USA, which, I mean, that's all on YouTube. You can watch it whenever.
Right.
Time slot aside. Scott, what are you thinking? What are you thinking overall? Let's do a top-down view of where we're looking at right now.
Well, I mean, the 8 to 10 slot is a nice slot for Saturday nights.
Mm-hmm.
It does, like I said, remind me of WCW Saturday Nights back in the day, but I believe they started at 6:05 on TBS. So, and they were normally an hour or 2 hours, depending on if the Braves were playing that time. So that was always a nice lead in. So that immediately brought back those fond memories for me. Of course, with their colors, they're looking like Nitro, which is another wonderful callback. Being on TNT, I mean, normally I think on Saturday nights, they're probably playing a movie at that point. So, I mean, honestly, a movie that everybody's watched probably a million times. So, hell, why not put something new on that channel? See if it brings in some people. I'm hoping it does well. Mm-hmm. Part of me kind of hopes it does better than Dynamite. Then maybe they can focus Dynamite on another night. I don't know. For me, it just still seems weird that Dynamite's on a Wednesday. I just started thinking about that recently. I'm like, I don't know, it's just a weird day for it, but whatever.
Again, where do you put it? That's kind of where it,
right? I mean, at this point, I mean, like you said, you can't put it against Raw because it will get destroyed. And it's not, you know, it's to steal a line from LA Knight, it's not an insult, it's just a fact of life. It's what's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe moving it to Tuesday, but then again, it's the NXT thing. I don't know. Can't put it on Thursday because that's ROH and you got Impact, and I don't know. So I guess Wednesday's their best night for it, but I don't know. It's just, for me, it just kind of feels weird to have it in the middle of the month. I'm always used to wrestling at the beginning and the end of the week, but that's just me being a WWE guy for so long, so who knows. The weekend stuff, I like it. When I play like 2K wrestling games, like I always put a show on Saturday night just because, just it's how I was growing up. I always watch wrestling on Saturday nights and Saturday mornings. But I don't know, I have high hopes for Collision. I'm hoping it does well. And I'll give some reasons once we really kind of dive into the specifics.
So for starters, I'm hoping it does well. I want to see it successful. Obviously, there's always going to be things that people are going to, I'm going to call him out right here. John had posted in our chat. He's like, oh, look, they canceled their house shows. Da, 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 da. They weren't pulling in the numbers. LOL. Two things. First and foremost, they're house shows.
Right.
Oh, actually, we're going to dig a little bit into the house shows. First and foremost, Scott, how often have you ever gone to a WWE house show?
I think I've been, actually, for WWE, one.
Mm-hmm.
I think. I've been to, I think, two Impacts,
mm-hmm,
house shows.
So let's focus on WWE, though.
Yeah, just the one.
Yeah, just one, okay. And how many times have you gone to, or how many times have you seen a house show come in town? And how many times have you seen a Raw or a SmackDown come in town? Which one are you going to be like, oh, I need to, you know, the house show, for me at least, even when they came around, when I was really getting into wrestling, I'm like, cool, I can go to see a show. It was a house show for the most part. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a Raw or SmackDown, that's cool. You know, you want to be on TV, you know, despite everybody, you know, be like, oh, I'm a little more humble. If Raw's in town, you want to be on TV live.
Right. Yeah.
So I think overall the house shows were more, they're house shows.
Right.
They're the, you know, not everyone's going to be excited. They were trying to hit markets that they didn't hit previously.
Right. Which is good, because if you do well at a house show, you can bring an actual show there.
Mm-hmm.
Because people came out for the house show.
Yeah. So they were doing that. They weren't pulling in the people that they should have been for house shows. I knew there was like a couple thousand. They were renting out, I don't know, like college, like arenas or something like that, with maybe 7,000 people, and they'll get right, like 2,000. And then my understanding was that they weren't advertising talent that they, like, you expect it's always John Moxley, but then you really have, like, I don't know, someone who might have been on Dark or
right
on occasion Dynamite or Rampage. Yeah. And it's, I get that. I think the house shows, they could have A, marketed better.
Yeah.
You could have, again, that's where you could have built your stars. They should have done, they should have gone the Raw route. Yeah, we're going to just do these house shows and these small, small banged up bingo halls, community centers.
Right.
Or not, they don't even small. Pull in two, if you're pulling in 2,000 people, pull in 2,000 people. Make it more intimate. That was right. The whole thing at Raw.
Yeah.
The day.
Yep.
The other thing, and I'm not so mad about it, because this is something people forget, and this was a big deal for a long time, and I don't know where WWE is now with house shows, but AEW's been very conscious about scheduling for their talent.
Correct.
They're not doing the 300 days a year.
Right. I think COVID really put a stop to that on the WWE side of things. They didn't do house shows for the longest time. So now they're doing super shows, which they started doing a little before COVID started. Mm-hmm. But I think those are their house shows now. But they're very rare. They don't happen all that often. It's not like it was before. They don't work the 300-day schedule anymore, which I think is great.
Yeah.
These talent, they put their bodies on the line for us. Let them have some time off with their families. They deserve it.
Or let them do other things. They're not employed. I mean, Tony's doing... That's something nothing people forget. Tony, I think, is trying to avoid this Vince McMahon thing where you're an independent contractor, but you can't work anywhere else.
Right.
It's a pretty fucked up mindset.
Oh, I agree.
He's been doing it for years. And that's... I think people forget that with AEW. Oh, the product's been garbage. Or there's a lot more behind that than the product being garbage, you know. He's trying to make it a better environment for the talent.
Right.
Sorry, I got a cat that keeps... oh, my God. She keeps trying to rip my stuff down. Okay. So I'm not so mad. They could do improvements for future house shows.
Right.
So some people are like, oh, that's a sign. It's not a sign. They're about to put on another 2-hour show. They got a live at, well, they got Rampage, an hour. They have Dynamite, which is already 2 hours. And then you got Ring of Honor, which is 2 hours.
Right.
So, I mean, realistically, when you look at it all, it's 2, 4, 6, 7 hours of TV, not including pay-per-views. Ticket sales haven't been great. You know, I know some people were concerned
right
about the ticket sales. I'm wondering, and even WWE, you know, again, we've seen this often so many times. As you can see, this is what we're talking about. This is what happens. You guys can't see my cat is rubbing up against my headrest. I think some of these shows, they should run in a little smaller arenas. I know they're trying to go with the bigger... Getting bigger markets.
Yeah.
But you and I, we've been to Vegas and we've been to Lowell, Massachusetts. And let me tell you, they can make that 7,000 seat arena in Lowell look just as big as the T-Mobile arena
on
camera.
Yep.
You know, they're what they're doing with Wembley has been very smart. You know, they're obviously selling only certain sections, and they're slowly, as they sell sections, they sell more.
Which is smart. You don't want to just open up everything and then you have three random people in this section way over here with nobody else there. And it's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, open it up slowly and see where it goes. Like, honestly, like I feel like Wembley is a big checkpoint for them. Like, if this show goes off really well, then I think that this will lead to future big things out in, you know, in the UK and out in Europe. If the show sucks, and the crowd lets them know about it because they're UK fans. They're going to let you know. this could be devastating for the AEW product as a whole. You talk about ticket sales. I think, honestly, a lot of the nervousness with Canada not selling their tickets is they don't know what to expect yet. That first show is going to make or break a lot of things, I think, which is why you need to make sure you do it correctly. For me, like, if we're going to dive into this, the show stuff, I think that we should do we should have already done announcements for this, since the show as of this recording is 6 days from now. Mm-hmm. They should have, if they're going to do individual titles for these shows, they should have already been announced. Mm-hmm. They should have, if they're going to do tournaments for it, they should have already announced it. You know, stuff like that. If you want to announce it day one on the show, then that's fine. Actually, that will work too. Because you know there's going to be the most eyes on this show on Saturday because they want to know what's going to be happening here. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping they're going to announce, you know, specific titles for this brand. I hope that they keep the TNT title only on this show, and then make another mid-card title for Dynamite and Rampage. And on the same breath, I hope that they keep the TBS title on Dynamite, mm-hmm. and then let another women's second title show up on this, or a tag title or something.
Yeah.
I want them to do a split. I want them to, because we already have set people for this show, like Miro, who we haven't seen in forever. And I hope that we get those trumpets on Saturday, and I'll be very happy. You know, I'll blow up the chat if that happens.
Oh, I know you will.
Thunder Rosa going to be on this show. CM Punk, obviously, the big one. You know, it depends on who else they throw on here. Obviously, we know the main event for this show. It's CM Punk and FTR versus Samoa Joe, the ROH TV champ, and Bullet Club Gold. So, I mean, that has a good starting point for momentum for the show, and I'm hoping that it continues. Mm-hmm. But I really hope that they have a good plan in mind, and this is not something that they're just going to make up as they go.
I hope not. Well, you know, it's funny we're talking about this, because I've been seeing things, and you've definitely seen it, where supposedly Bryan Danielson has been involved with booking.
Yes, I did see that. I think that's brilliant.
My understanding is he's actually been very helpful, and he's getting a lot of pull.
Part of me thinks he's already making that transition to the backstage stuff, because his in-ring stuff is definitely winding down.
Yeah, there's only so... I mean, we know. There's only so much you can do. I mean, okay, I want to... Let me ask you, because you've been watching it longer than I have. Vince McMahon's Goon Squad. All right? I mean, Sergeant Slaughter, the Briscoes, you know... How long was it until those guys, you know, even Gorilla Monsoon, how long was it from them being on TV to them being backstage guys? Did it, how was the transition there? Did it happen overnight? Or was it something that you kind of noticed that, oh, Sergeant Slaughter is not here as often?
Yeah, I think it really starts with them not being on TV as often, or not being in the high caliber feuds as mm-hmm. often. And then, you know, they slowly make that transition. It's a little different now compared to how it was back then, because back then, I'm sure there were a lot more egos involved and they didn't want to be off television. And then they finally realized, well, I can't hang with these young kids anymore, so let me do something that's still involved. And, you know, they became bookers and talent searches and stuff like that. So, you know, nowadays, I feel like a lot of talent that may still have some in the tank, they've made that decision to be like, I think I want to be involved with more stuff backstage now, and, you know, see how this kind of works. So like, cause I know like people like, I'm trying to think of current people like Danny Burch, which was a big NXT guy in NXT UK.
Yep.
Who else? His tag partner. Oh my God, his name is leaving my brain at this moment, but, in the Indies, what the hell? Of course, now that I'm talking about this, it all just escapes my brain. But like stuff like that, like it's just like I think they realized.
Oney Lorcan?
That, yeah, Oney Lorcan. I was trying to think of his actual name, but yeah, like they've made that conscious decision that I think they feel like they can do better, or WWE made it for them. Which, while it might be harsh, you know, it might be the correct move, and they've done good jobs. Abyss. From coming over from Impact, doing a lot of good stuff backstage for WWE.
And he's an interesting one, because he didn't come over as talent. Neither did Adam Pearce. They came over as, we want to work in the back office.
Correct. Exactly. And Adam Pearce is another perfect example. Thank you. I went back and watched some of his older stuff once he showed up as an authority figure. And I'm just like, why can't we get this? Like, why can't we get this once? Like, he had that moment where he almost wrestled, or he did wrestle Roman and got destroyed. I'm like, why can't he just, like, pull out one of his Adam Pearce moves and just do something ridiculous and surprise everybody? Mm-hmm. But they kept it, like, no. Like, he was just getting destroyed by the champion, which I kind of can understand, because you want to keep the champ strong. But it's just, like, I don't know. There's rumors, of course, of Nigel McGuinness getting back in the ring after so many years to take on Bryan Danielson. Another dream match, I think, would be outstanding. Mm-hmm. you know, he's doing the same thing over in AEW, obviously doing the announcing again for ROH, which thank God he's on he's speaking again.
I love him on commentary.
I just need, you know, what would like be the icing on the cake for Collision is if they got Mauro Ranallo. I think exactly. I know he's doing stuff with boxing and whatnot. That's all good and fine. But that man was the voice of NXT. I know a lot of people didn't like him because they thought he was too over the top, but that's what you need sometimes, especially with NXT when it was trying during its black and gold stage. Oh my God. Did he make these matches like 15 star matches? Like it was ridiculous.
And I'll be this with like almost any commentary team. I'll always be WWE is a weird, you know, weird group of commentators right now.
Correct.
Not saying any of them are bad, but I just when you have Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura, you have Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler.
Yep.
Some people might find this controversial, but you know, Michael Cole, Taz.
Yep.
In the early 2000s of SmackDown. Even WCW. Legendary, you know. And they switched out, too.
Yep.
You know, all of them, they intertwined so well. You know, obviously, Tony Schiavone, Mike Tenay, Eric Bischoff, Dusty Rhodes, Steve McMichaels.
Yep. I completely forgot about it. Obviously, I don't know if you heard me, but Bobby Heenan was.
Bobby Heenan. Yeah, I forgot about again.
For both WWE and WCW. Like, he was a fantastic color commentator.
WCW really had, and I think that's something you have to look back at, despite that company having its cons. You go back, obviously, Tony Schiavone was the voice.
Correct.
But they had so many people that, you know, back and forth all over.
Yep.
And I don't think they ever had bad commentary. At times, yes.
Everybody has their bad nights. But no, like, honestly, like WCW's commentary was top notch pretty much all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, we look at WWE now. And, you know, Mauro, I was very indifferent at first, and then he really grew on me. Right. And now they got Vic Joseph. And Vic Joseph, to me, it's all right. He's like extremely over the top. Like he's always screaming.
Having Booker with him on NXT, it works because Booker's also equally over the top.
But like I loved Tom Phillips or, you know, Tom Hannigan in Impact.
Yeah.
To me, he could have become the voice of WWE.
Yeah. No, I agree. He's very good.
Corey Graves. I love Corey Graves as color commentary.
Corey's a great color commentary. The problem that he has, unfortunately, he has Kevin Patrick with him, who I love the kid to death, but he's very cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And for being on the flagship show, you need more oomph to your voice. And the one drawback of having Corey with you is that whenever he tries to do it, Corey immediately cuts him at the legs.
Yeah.
Which he's a color commentator. That's what he's supposed to do. But Kevin never fires back at him.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's why I loved it when Byron Saxton was there, because Byron would just give it back to him. Like Byron is very underrated. And I know like he does backstage stuff now and that's fine. But I feel like they never gave Byron his just due at commentary.
Byron, to me, so this is my thing with, I think, Byron, and you mentioned Byron, and, you know, the more I analyze him, I remember when they had the three of them on, was it Cole, Byron, and Corey?
And Corey, correct.
Cole is always going to be Cole, you know, whether you like him or hate him. Cole is Cole. Always liked Corey. Corey, I thought, was the strongest of the three. Byron, to me, when he was in the threefold, when he's supposed to be the, like, color commentator for the faces.
Correct.
It was like, oh, okay. But then he started getting away, and it was just him and Corey.
Right.
And when he had to be, he was the commentator. You know, he's not a color commentator. He's just a commentator. Yep. I'm like, he really has that knack.
Correct. I agree. Like,
playing the face color, I mean, he's definitely not a color commentator, but a face color commentator. He just, it was like, whatever. It didn't really... But just as a commentator, I think he had what he needed to be that guy.
Yeah, because he used to do really good when he was in NXT. Also, when he used to perform in NXT, and then he transitioned there. For me, though, my highlight of Byron Saxton's career will always be the day he pinned Corey Graves for the 24/7 championship. I thought that that was the greatest thing. Corey wins it first, and Corey, I still have the photos on my phone. Corey's all excited. It's like, yes, and all of a sudden, his face turns to absolute horror as Byron Saxton rolls him up and gets the pin. I was dying. I thought that that was the greatest thing, and Byron just laid into him every week about it, and it was just like, yes. He finally got one over on Corey. It's the greatest thing. It was so good.
So yeah, looking at all this commentary, I think commentary is very important here. Who knows? Maybe we're going to luck out. Maybe, depending on how they record this, I forgot what they said. Maybe we get Ian Riccaboni.
All right.
You know, I don't know how much more money you want to put into commentary teams.
I mean, they are, if I remember correctly, I believe Collision and ROH are recording on the same night because Rampage is still sticking with Dynamite. So, yeah, I mean, that's easily there. You put him with maybe Taz or Excalibur.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. I think Taz is going to be Dynamite and Rampage.
Okay.
Sorry, I mean Excalibur. I think he's good there.
Okay.
I love Ian Riccaboni. Like, I've already told you, you don't, he doesn't need anybody with him.
Right. He's like Joey Styles. So he can do it by himself. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think if you had both of them side by side on it, they're the same kind of commentator.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah. You're right. That's true.
Yeah. I don't know if that'd work as well because they both call the same shots. Right. I think Ian Riccaboni does it way better than Excalibur.
Ooh.
But
hot take.
Hot take. I just love Ian Riccaboni. Because sometimes, again, that's part of the show. I mean, if you don't have a good commentator, you're not going to want to.
100%. You have to sell the show. Like you talk about, like, iconic ones, like Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan or Jesse Ventura. They sold the show to you. Vince McMahon did a great job as well as a
commentator. Oh, he did, yes.
Jim Ross and JR.
Probably the greatest commentary team of all time.
Yeah. Him and King. Even though I said Jim Ross and JR, I just said him and himself or whatever. Some of the most iconic things are just Jim Ross going off on, like, especially when he used to go off on Triple H, when Triple H was during his terror phase. Oh my God. It was some of the greatest stuff ever.
Or even who was it? Probably underrated, but when Paul Heyman came over and it was JR and Paul Heyman.
That's true. Yep. Absolutely.
I don't know. I think it's important. I really am curious about the commentary team because we haven't even announced that yet.
No, we don't even know exactly.
Now, we're going to do something we don't usually do on the show. We're going to take a look. AEW Collision. Maybe we got a commentary team. We don't know.
Maybe. But I'm interested to see, like, I really feel like the titles are going to be a big deal. Like, what are they going to do with these titles? Like, are they going to be titles for the show? Or are they just going to have, you know, the same people on both show or all three shows? You know, is it going to be something like that? Like, I really hope it doesn't. I really hope that there's a split. I hope we get some debuts. I think that'd be great. Some people we haven't talked about. I've seen Mandy's name thrown around, and I mean, I wouldn't be upset about that.
I know she's on injury with an ankle injury, but imagine if Mercedes Moné showed up.
I mean, that's true too. I don't know. I'm hoping for the best.
Yeah, I think what's big here, another big thing that we need to do, and there's a lot of, we can go back and we can criticize all the faults of WWE, and AEW does fall into tropes too.
Oh yeah.
Some of the, that, you know, WWE's complained about. I think a big thing though is everyone they've advertised who's coming for the show who hasn't been on TV in a while needs to have focal point here.
Absolutely. You don't. Yeah, you can't just name drop them and then be like, ah, just kidding, they're not here.
Like, yeah, what? Miro needs to be on TV.
Yes.
Thunder Rosa needs to be on TV.
Yes.
Andrade needs to be on TV.
Yes.
CM Punk, you know, that can go either way. That can go either way because we knew he was coming back at some point.
What if they put Punk on commentary?
Oh.
Especially if he's not going to wrestle all that much. Have him be like Jericho is for Rampage from time to time. Have him randomly show up.
What if it's him and Ian Riccaboni?
Ooh. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
these are the things I'm thinking about. These are, oh my gosh, there's a lot of promise. Obviously the ticket sales are a big deal. Right. The ratings are going to be a big deal.
Yep.
You know, I say ratings though. I mean, we live in a different time. It's all
correct. Yeah.
You know, everyone DVR stuff. How many cable channels are there where there's like a show that maybe tens of thousands of people want? Impact's a great example. I'm going to just throw Impact under the bus here. Impact is on like a channel, a no-name channel.
Correct.
Nothing against Access.
Yep.
But they're a no-name channel compared to, you know, basic USA television, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox,
yeah,
even like basic cable. Yep. They're a no-name channel. They got tens of thousands of people watching, and they still watch.
Right.
And they're still on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand in the age of streaming services, there's so they but we still put movies on TV. I don't know why. I don't know why. Oh, you want to watch Star Wars Rise of Skywalker for the second time because you didn't like it the first time you watched it? Cool. It's on TNT tonight. Why not? Why? It's on Disney Plus. Or you own it.
Right.
So I think in the long run, especially with Warner Brothers Discovery making this deal and them talking about removing scripted or non-scripted content. Less scripted content? Was that what it was?
Maybe, yeah, I think so.
And then we still don't know about about this deal. For all we know, in this deal, it could be 5 years of Collision, despite they have 10 viewers or whatnot.
Possibly. I'm sure this contingency is just in case it does horrible, which I hope it doesn't. I don't know. There's also the rumors of them putting everything on Max, which I think would be great for pay-per-view-wise. I mean, it would give me an absolute reason to get my own account.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly. If you can get it like you would for, you know, with Peacock, with WWE products, you know, or the network for everybody else in the world. I do miss the WWE network, like, horribly. Like, nothing against Peacock, but I don't know. Network was always so much better
mm-hmm.
when it came to where everything was placed. But
yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of promise here. I think there's a lot of promise. I want it to be successful. Oh, are there concerns? I would say there's concerns.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely concerns. But even still, you know, the whole Canada thing, we'll talk about, you know, CM Punk, you know, no more tickets have been really sold for Wembley.
Right.
No more tickets for Collision. And again, that could, like we talked about, could be on the first show. I've also heard the Canadian market's kind of expensive right now.
I mean, every market's expensive right now. I mean, yeah. We don't want to dive into the politics side of things, so we'll stay out of that. But yeah, everything's expensive nowadays. So
when I got tickets for the Tampa show and I bought the cheaper tickets, I didn't want to spend like, I could have paid 60 and been like camera side, but we're right over the entrance on the back. So if the stage is here.
Yeah.
That back entrance that's usually on the side that Moxie will walk out of.
Yep.
We're just over that for 40 nice. Bucks. Actually, I paid 116 for two tickets.
There you go. It's not bad.
Not bad. Not bad. And they were filling up quick. I was trying to buy some tickets and I'm like, oh, let me go to my other, you know, my computer. Forgot what I did. I had to switch over to the app and all of a sudden the tickets I had were gone. Like the two rows I was looking at gone. I'm like,
right.
Well, they're selling here, but they haven't been in Tampa in a while, you know?
Right.
When you're in Boston all the time, in Chicago all the time, in New York all the time, and
I think if they're going to focus on a Florida town that's not Jacksonville, Tampa's a good one because stay out of Orlando. Orlando's WWE territory. It's tough to sell there. But yeah, I think Tampa would be really good. Clearwater might be another interesting choice for them. I don't know if there's anything even in Clearwater that can hold.
No,
them.
But there's St. Petersburg.
That's true. St. Petersburg, which obviously is right there. So that makes sense too.
St. Petersburg has Tropicana Field. So if they ever want to run in like a stadium show in Florida, they can go to Tropicana Field.
Probably get more people in there than they would for Tampa Bay, but that's okay.
Yeah. What's interesting though is the Tampa show I'm going to. It's actually at University of Southern Florida, which is actually, it's like just in North, like it's on the North Tampa line.
Okay.
So I'm not even going into the city. That's 20 minutes for me.
That's nice. That's real nice.
You know, so.
I travel farther than that for my local shows here.
Yeah, no, it's actually closer than I thought. And it's a nice campus. That was like when I went to URI. For Battle of the Belts. I mean, again, I was staying in Boston, so I had to drive down and then drive back up to Boston.
Yep.
Which is an hour, 15, hour and a half. Yeah. But where I grew up, that was 15 minutes away.
Right,
exactly. I've stayed at my parents' house.
Yep.
So, I think they need to definitely run some smaller venues. Who cares they're not doing? Fucking WWE doesn't. They're still doing arenas. Even at their worst, when they're selling, like, what show was it? There was a show, I don't know if it was in the Northwest, and they maybe sold, I think, like 5,000 tickets in that arena.
It's, they're going to have bad times. It depends on what's going on. There's a lot of variables that goes into these things. So, I mean, even again, if you bought tickets, people just don't show up. I mean, that happens too. So,
yeah. I mean, if you want to talk about the thing that Ethan and I kept talking about with Vegas, and I think we kind of mentioned it on the post show for Double or Nothing. The big problem I think there for me, and I love going to Vegas. Don't get me wrong. Loved it when we went.
Yep.
But the problem is Vegas is a like vacation city.
Right.
So you're always going to have to, the hotels are always going to be expensive. The food's always going to be expensive.
Yep.
You know, it's not something we could, if you and me made that money to go to Vegas every single year for Double or Nothing, that's great.
Right.
But do some kind of casino town or a big casino, like we even talked about, like Mohegan Sun or Fox was in Connecticut.
That'd be great. Or
Atlantic City in Jersey. There's a bunch of casinos opened up in Boston now.
Yeah, but they're already in Boston a lot. So,
but I'm just throwing ideas out there.
Yeah.
Just small, I think smaller, from time to time, when you're entering a new market, don't aim to go to. It's like you're going to Boise, Idaho. Don't go to whatever arena they have there.
Right.
Not that they have a major league team over there. Do something like a college arena.
Right.
No more than 7,000 people.
Right.
Even 5,000. You know what? If you get 5,000 people in there, that's great. You should be testing these markets out anyways.
Exactly. Especially with it not being, if it's not a TV show, then you don't have to pay all that other stuff for it. So you're making more money anyways in those smaller towns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, we could get really into the logistics of the fact that we're like, inflation's high. There's been talks of a borderline recession at this point in the States.
Yeah.
You want to get into the, that's a whole different topic.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of potential here. I think there's a lot of potential for success. This one definitely is a little more skating on. It's not like Dynamite. I think if AEW, for whatever reason, everything else crapped the bed,
right,
they could go back to just Dynamite and be successful.
It's true.
Because then you'll get one show a week.
Right.
You only have to, when they come around, it's rare. And again, I think Tony needs to kind of pay attention here. If Brian's in his ear, I think he really needs to take from Brian. I think they need to have some kind of writer's room, but not writer's room.
Right. I mean, they kind of have that with ROH now, don't they? With Sanjay and not Sanjay, with oh my God, I was saying Malcolm Bivens, but that was his WWE name.
Stoltley Hathaway.
Hathaway and Jerry Lynn, which I think is good. I think that's great.
Yeah. That's awesome. I hope they need to tighten up a little more on the writing.
Oh, absolutely. yes.
You can't have it's great to see everybody wrestle. But sometimes product suffers when you have everybody there.
Right. You need storylines. They drive the shows. Watching like random matches is great, but they're random. Like, why did these come together? Why do they all of a sudden have a problem with one another? Why are they wrestling? Like, give me a reason. Get me invested in why they're doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise it just turns into spot fests, which happens a lot in AEW, which is unfortunate. It's like universe mode in WWE games. Like, just hit the randomize button. Who's facing who today? Oh, okay. Why? I don't know. Just because they are. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they need to especially if the Double or Nothing, the way they booked that show, again, that was kind of like the way we used to talk about WWE. Oh, they got 2 weeks for the new show, for the next pay-per-view. And you're like, you and I were just watching to kind of like watch it. And that's kind of where I was starting to fall off, because I'm like, I can't do this all the time. I don't know how people were. And again, kudos to anybody else who watches more than what Scott and I watch, whether the show's good or not. Could you imagine if we were still doing pay-per-view at that point and you had to pay $50 every 2 weeks?
Yep.
No.
I wouldn't, I wouldn't be able to watch WWE for the longest time if that was the case. Like, that's why I love the network so much. Just, I could pay $5 a month and watch all the pay-per-views and everything else I wanted to ever watch. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. And on the flip side of things, wrestling's it seems to be a very polarizing, even within the community. We want the brand to grow.
Yeah.
The problem is they're not doing what WWE does. WWE is sports entertainment.
Right.
They are grabbing people by the ears who don't even care for wrestling. Where, I don't know about you, but the people I know who have started watching wrestling again because of AEW, it's because it feels more like something they would have watched when they were younger.
Yeah.
You know, my buddy Rob or anyone who started watching wrestling again because of AEW, I would put money down, regardless of whether the product is good or not, they're not going over the WWE if AEW shits the bed.
That's very true. I've actually had some of my friends that came back because of AEW have stopped watching because they're like, this is just like WWE now. So it's like, you're not wrong. I'm sad that you're not watching anymore, but I get it. WWE is not for everybody. I mean, they've been fine-tuning their craft for 100 years now at this point, pretty much.
Yep.
They've been at it for a while, and AEW is trying to, take the best and not take the worst of what WWE is doing, and they're trying to make it in their own spin, and they're trying. Sometimes they do really well, other times it's like, that was weird. Why did it?
You knew that was going to work. Why'd you do it?
Right, exactly. Like, good on you for trying, but no, just fell a little flat.
Okay, so a lot of pros here, a lot of cons. I at this point, I guess, looking overall, we want to succeed, clearly. This is one of those things with AEW, where at least AEW, when they have pushed things, they've been very honest. They haven't pulled some of this WWE stuff. We're doing a draft 3 days later. Well, you can show up on SmackDown.
Right.
Curious if they do a soft draft. I really don't have any other opinion until we see what goes on.
Exactly. I mean, right now it's just all speculation until Saturday night when the show comes on. I'll be here. So I'll live tweet it, because I'm definitely going to want to watch it and see what the show is about. My biggest thing is, don't be a carbon copy of Dynamite or Rampage.
Yep.
Be something different. Surprise me. Doesn't happen a lot in wrestling anymore, because I've watched it for over 3 decades and I've seen a lot of stuff. Surprise me. Give me something to be like, shit, I can't wait till next Saturday to watch this now.
Mm-hmm, 100%.
That's all I ask for. That's all. And I'll be a happy camper.
Granted, you and I were going to watch regardless, but.
Yes, that's very true. But I want to be like, I can't wait for Saturday night. Not to go out and party or spend time with people. I'm going to watch wrestling. That's what I'm going to do. Because,
I get that. That's all I have. All I have on Collision. I'm looking forward to it. I want the best. I hope for the best. Obviously, again, go back to the house shows. I get it. They're trying to focus on TV. Let's just go. Let's see what happens. Yep. Let's see what happens, Scott. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you don't already do so, please follow us on Twitter at Above the Ring. Find me on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Above the Ring. Find myself as DSBA Official, Scott as Scotty J Stream, and John as John the Statman. We are on all streaming platforms. Please make sure you like, share, subscribe, leave a comment, leave a review, tell people why Ship It Studios and Above the Ring and it's the podcast of your choosing and why they should listen to us as well. Thank you so much for listening. As always, don't forget to ship it, and also do not forget to join the Bedlam.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.